did eat fried chicken. Alright, this is Pure Decking, show number 200. Good God, why are we still doing this? For December the 31st, 2015, or January the 1st, 2016, depending on where...
time travel.
Yeah, where you live. So, anyways, got Madman, got RU, because apparently everybody else had to go to holiday parties. Unless Static wants to join. I just saw him hop in the channel. There's nobody in the other channel.
Well, he can be drafted.
He can be
or
drafted.
Or invited. Either way.
There we go.
Was he voluntold, or did he...
I decided to jump in.
Well, we literally just played the intro music for...
Just as well, man. I just went tinkle in the pool.
Nice.
So this is Pure Decking 200, and obviously we have Madman. Madman, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Four Roses, single barrel.
Nice. I'm currently drinking Woodford's. Static, what are you drinking?
Currently nothing. This is a sad day, but I will be joining you in the Woodford's in just a few moments.
Fantastic choice, sir. Are you? What do you got?
I'm drinking the heavy nectar, the sweet, sweet regret that was 2015.
yeah, there's that. So, and we've even got the police here to celebrate episode 200.
We recommend you douse yourselves with something flammable and gather in a confined space.
Hold me, Madman, I'm scared.
No, because we'll both be caught on fire.
We're being swatted.
Yeah. And everybody wonders why we use pseudonyms and don't have video.
That was a thing this year, wasn't it? Being swatted.
I did have a cop show up on my door. I'm not doing a year-end retrospective. We don't do that shit.
No, I'm just saying, like...
Yeah, that was everyone, a big thing. That's been happening a lot.
This year. Yeah.
So... You know, it must suck to be the cops, too, to have to fill out all the paperwork on that, especially if they break in the door and beat the crap out of somebody before they figure out that it was just somebody aggressively playing a video game.
Well, a lot of cops learned the new meaning of what Twitch was.
Twitch, is that one of those twerk things?
No, it's a streaming channel, isn't it?
Poor joke.
Oh, sorry, my autism's flaring.
Oh, fuck!
Anyways, I'm going to put the soundboard away because I was sitting here and play with that all night as opposed to doing the show. It is show 200. Again, I thought about editing the na-na-na-na Sard clip, so he said nah 200 times, but I didn't feel like waiting for like 5 minutes for that to play.
Yeah, that would absolutely be fucking annoying, to be honest.
Just open the show with that.
Yeah, it's 5 minutes of Sard. Like, you know what's going to happen. People get, 30 seconds in, they get like, fuck it, the show's broken, clicked, stop.
Yeah, would be that. So, anyways, let me go ahead and throw these links out here to, I guess, to open things up. Madman, I know you and RU know, because I told you about it, but Static, do you know who Ian Murdoch is?
Name is sounding really familiar, but not directly.
He's the Ian of Debian.
The Ian of Ian.
Okay, Debian, the distribution.
Oh,
the
yeah,
name
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is
yeah.
Made up of his girlfriend at the time was named Deborah. Deb Ian.
Okay. Yeah.
You know,
yep.
So that's where he named his Linux distro. He died. Apparently killed himself a couple of days ago, 2 days ago, I think, or Monday. Was it Monday?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And anyways, so of course Debian has a post saying, you know, they have to report that he passed away and that, he started Debian and he had moved on. He was actually working for Docker, and Docker has a post on their website as well. Both posts basically end with the family asking for privacy. Now, there's some weird things here in that the story is that he offed himself. And apparently, because there's not been an official report of the cause of death. They're just the official news stories have all basically just said he died. Now, the reason this gets weird is if you follow the tech news like I do, the night before he died, there was several threads on... I know on Reddit, I think there was one on G as well, but I don't remember seeing it, that he was posting on his Twitter that he was going to kill himself. And people were like, okay, somebody get a hold of where he works, because it was well known he worked at Docker, so it's like, you know, hey, somebody go get a hold of them so you can like, try to prevent this. And there's this rambling on his Twitter account, and I've got the paste bin, where he's telling this story on the paste bin of getting beat up by the police and that he was going to commit suicide to get the story out.
But, I mean, he doesn't allude to what actually happened. It's the ramblings of a madman.
So I found a few other stories just kind of Googling around on it, but none of them seem very credible.
With his resources... best way to get the story out would be to get the story out, not to shoot yourself.
Well,
I don't know if he shot himself or...
We don't know
how
he died.
It's very weird because his Twitter account before this was very professional, right? Because he was a public figure. And then, you know, he's got these drunken ramblings on here. And so initially, like when I first saw the threads, a lot of people were coming to the conclusion that his Twitter account got popped, right? And, so that's what a lot of people thought. And then out comes the story that he's dead. So there's that. There was in some of the threads, they had actually found the arrest record. So he was arrested and bonded out Monday. So maybe he was beat up by the cops. There was some stories that apparently the cops are saying that he was drunk and belligerent and attacked them. And, you know, but all they really did was restrain him and then, you know, ultimately arrested him. They said apparently he was trying to get into one of his neighbor's houses. But according to his post on Twitter, he was knocking on their door. So, of course, there's conspiracy theories abound. It really sucks because there's not been an official word of what the hell just happened to this guy. Some of my favorite conspiracy theories were that, you know, There were some dirty cops that beat him up that then figured out, oh, he's somebody the internet's going to know. So they messed up his Twitter account and then, you know, tried to cover it up as a suicide. That one was amusing to read. I kind of wonder, and argue, you and I were talking about this earlier, if he really did get his ass kicked by the police, legitimately or not, because I don't know. You know, maybe, yeah, well, you know, if he was drunk and belligerent, it might have been legit.
Just for everything we're saying here, it is speculation only.
Absolutely speculation. This is why I don't have any of the stories that go into the speculation, the articles that go into all the speculation about what happened. I'm not going to post those as official sources for the story because it's hard to find any of those that look even remotely credible. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
so,
as we were saying earlier, before the show, it's just... this is like number five suspicious death within the security or networking high uptick guys this year.
Yeah, but the theory that seemed to make the most sense is that maybe he did get beat up pretty bad, and maybe he got... I mean, you can get a head injury that'll, you know,
change
mess
your personality.
Up your thinking. Yeah, that.
And, it literally flip your personality.
So
like, it's got to be a pretty big blow, though. Yeah, just stressing that. Or, you know, maybe copped a nightstick to the side of the head plus a bit of electroshock with a taser.
Yeah, then, I mean, I could see that messing up your thinking to the point that you might think that's a good idea. So I don't know. I mean,
you know, and then drinking and coming up with all these elaborate... you never know, too, man. He could have just been stressed the shit out at work.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, got too much drink.
So I'm kind of throwing out some of the conspiracy ideas here, but... right now the word is that he, you know, really is dead, that he probably killed himself, and then there's all these crazy Twitter rants. So I don't know.
I mean, the it just, a lot of it makes no sense. Like, banging on about being a white male. You know, I earned $1.4 million this year. I don't know the man personally. I don't know whether he's personally arrogant or anything like that, but...
Well, you know, a lot of technology people are, so that's not...
I was saying, generally, rich, successful people, they let the fact that they're leading their field promote that they're successful. I mean, Donald Trump's kind of the exception. Most billionaires don't walk around saying, I'm a billionaire. Either you know them and you know they're rich, or you don't know them and your opinion doesn't matter to them.
Yeah.
What's interesting to me is, why has Twitter taken down his posts?
Well, that's the thing. A lot of people thought he was, thought his account was hacked.
That happens to a lot of people when they pass away, though.
But it's pretty funny that it went down, like, before the news even came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I'm throwing it out. Okay. I guess, you know, a good thing to throw out here is it sucks that the dude's dead because, I mean, he did. He started Debian, the Linux distro. He's done a lot of open source work. He was working for Docker at the time he, you know, passed. And he... I mean, he ended up, he was like at Salesforce at one point. I mean, he's been in a ton of different companies, but, you know, he had kids.
Yeah.
Apparently, he, you know, he did marry the Deb of the Debian part, but they divorced like in 08, I think. But, you know, he did have kids. He did have family. And all the posts are the family asking for privacy right now, which of course, but...
It's fair enough. But the worst part about it, he's not famous enough for the media to actually look into it hard enough.
No.
Right.
So, I don't know. Static, have you seen anything else on this? I mean, you said the name was familiar. You probably saw the posts floating around. But
Yeah, no. I'm just digging a little bit more right now while we're talking. But in this day and age, this is why. Get your gun. Know how to use it. Just saying, whether or not it's a cover up, whether or not, you know, I don't care if the police had anything to do with it or not. There's enough crazies out there. The time has come. Arm yourselves, people.
He's always been that level of crazy out there.
It's gotten worse.
You think so, or are we just hearing about it more?
I think the level of crazy hasn't gotten particularly worse. I think the level of stupid is getting worse.
Well, the level of stupid's definitely on the rise, but I think it's easily pegged, you know, at the crazy level. We're pretty good at that.
But, I mean, are you right that we've had a lot of people in tech have odd deaths this year?
Five this year, man. And they all seem to have known each other.
I mean, or had a hand in working on something. Was he this year or was he last year?
Was it the car accident one?
No, that was the guy who did ATMs.
That was this year.
That was earlier.
It was 2 months after the car accident with the reporter.
Yeah, you had the reporter who was digging into the NSA and all that stuff, mysteriously wrap his car around a tree.
Yeah,
no skid marks. Didn't even try to brake. You had several suicides.
Start looking into the I was reading about it. What's the group? The Syrian Brotherhood group. They are...
Oh, the Syrian Army?
No, the Syrian Brotherhood.
You're not talking about ISIL?
No, they're just called the Syrian Brotherhood.
It's a hacker group. They're not even. It's not even sure that they're really related to Syria. It's just the name they use.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
But they are real. Let me say that.
Yeah, they're real.
There are documents linked back to the White House that have been destroyed from the top down because... this group said to destroy them.
Are we sponsored by InfoWars now?
Hey, I'm telling you, I've been reading stuff. It's coming. I don't care what group you're
part of. I'm not getting paid enough if we're sponsored by InfoWars. Alex has got deep pockets.
He sells a lot of stuff.
I don't get my stuff just from him.
We got a little deep down the rabbit hole, that's all.
Can we get sponsored if we're going to do that? I don't mind the conspiracy theory stuff. It's kind of fun.
Absolutely. All sorts of other people are making money off of it, you know. The fun part is that it's not really a conspiracy anymore. Things are happening. They're lining up. So
can we... Does that make us big-ass sellouts if we do that, though?
If you believe in it, no. Now, if you're taking the paycheck and toting the line because they're giving you a paycheck, yes.
I'll have to stop using the Alex Jones sound clips if we did that.
I'm gonna have to retract a lot of shit I said in 2014.
Oh no, if you believe it, I'm gonna call him a fucking asshat. He can pay me all the money I want, but if I think a man's an asshat, you're an asshat that's paying me money, and thank you. You're a fucking asshat.
He's one rant away from a stroke. I mean, you know, the veins.
Oh yeah,
from yeah. The head. He really, I mean,
he's
really
over the top by far.
Emergency! Emergency! Emergency!
But some of the people on his network, they cite their sources, and you can double check their work. So he does have journalists working for him.
Journalists. You're really using the word journalist loosely, madman.
I'm going to use the word spy. That he had someone on his show day ago, 2 days ago. My wife could tell you more. That was an actual spy from over there, over the Middle East, has come back and literally has tons of information.
You know, it sucks. Of all those Alex Jones clips we used to use on the shows, Emergency is the only one I can find right now.
Aww.
I was looking to see if I had any others because, like, the... You know, the squirrels thing and the...
Yeah, and they're raping our babies and eating our children. That was a good one.
Yeah, I can't... But I don't know where those sound clips ended up.
I think we need to rocket snail backwards and go back to this Ian thing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So, it's something I found here. TruthVoice.com. Has a thing on here that, where did it say, he tweeted that he was sexually abused by a jail guard and beaten by police.
Yeah, that's in the paste bin.
Yeah, that's okay. When he was pantsed, and it's like, it's only rape if you're a man pantsing a woman or something like that.
So one thing I've seen in these rants the rest of my life is to fight against the police. They're not friends, so don't ever believe otherwise. The police are uneducated, evil, and sadistic. They don't trust them. I mean, he's whatever occurred in that particular pickup on the 27th, is that when it was, I think? Or 26th, maybe, something like that.
I'm not exactly sure, yeah.
But whatever occurred needs to come out. And them saying that they don't have cameras, which I've seen in a couple different places, is bogus.
If he got raped with a nightstick, that would make him go a little crazy.
I have a response for that.
The Enrichment Center once again reminds you that Android Hell is a real place where you will be sent at the first sign of defiance.
And raped with a nightstick. Alright.
So, anyways, I mean, I don't really have any real information on that. I dug and dug and dug and really hoped I would. I was kind of hoping somebody else would have heard something, but the best I could find is apparently he was drinking, and he was at his neighbor's house, and whether he was trying to break in or just knocking on their door, and you know, he was arrested, bonded out, because one of the threads, they actually had a screenshot from the website of the public record showing that he was bonded out.
Who bonded him out, does it say?
It did, and I don't remember. I have to go find it again.
Good.
I didn't keep the tab. Because it was, there wasn't enough on there to be interesting, so I didn't think it was all that important.
We'll look after the show, man.
Yeah. So, anyways, so if, in case you've been living under a rock, when Obama passed the omnibus spending bill, this was in there as an amendment. So they passed it.
Thanks, Obama.
You know, if you're not aware, basically it gives companies immunity for violating policies and civil protections if they're sharing their data with the government. It's kind of the amnesty AT&T got for the NSA wiretaps.
Yep.
But just broadly applied to anyone who shares information with the government. And
so it's pretty much, we did cause that toxic spill, but here's all the data we've collected on everyone so far, so turn a blind eye.
Yeah, basically. And
it's a get out of jail free card.
It's really frustrating because they've been trying to pass this thing for a couple of years, and the fact that they snuck it in a budget bill, they knew it was unpopular. They knew nobody wanted it. They knew it was a bad law. But the fact that they just kept trying and finally snuck it in a budget bill and got it. I mean,
I don't think there should be any bill that's 2,000 pages, but could you at least make it where in a spending bill you can only have spending items?
That'd be nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's no wonder we're broke and don't have a clue what our government's doing.
Well, all the people that I can vote for to get them out of office voted against this. Rand Paul actually ranted against it. Not that it did any good, because it was still voted on and passed.
Well, that's my point, though, is that the fact that they can slip this shit in is sad. So, use VPNs, encrypt everything. I know I was bad-mouthing Let's Encrypt before just because I thought it violated, it didn't do any identity checking, but it's something.
Of course, if you don't want to do that, just have your bug-out bag handy by the back door.
Yep. Just don't use the internet. Just don't do it. It's not worth it, man.
Look normal when look like you have normal traffic.
So what you do is you get the big black jacket, you get a ball cap, and you cut a wig and glue it on the inside of the.
God damn it! Only use coffee shop Wi-Fi.
Make sure you keep a whole bunch keep a fake web browser history that you maintain of going to religious websites, charities, and the occasional government informational page. That you can show your approved reading list.
You'll need two of them, depending on which party is in power. Seriously, the abuses of government, when they're getting this information, our government's been at least nicer than most others. They haven't rounded people up and shot them.
Yet.
What they do is, whoever's in power, with Obama, it was, let's target the Tea Party movements and everyone that's against the Democrat Party, kind of, and against big donors specifically. And fuck them over. When it was
using
Nixon,
the tax code.
He had his list.
Yep.
They don't go out and shoot you. That's why when I hear people say, well, they're not going to come and arrest you. That's not how they fuck with your life. The way they fuck with your life is you're trying to open up a business. You're not getting to open up that business because you're not on their approved list. You're trying to do a legitimate change to government, which is widely popular. A lot of the things the Tea Party were protesting were the same things that Occupy Wall Street were originally protesting. They got targeted because they were going after the party in power, and at the time it was the Democrat Party.
So Obama has a quote here. I'm not wild about everything in it, but it's a budget deal.
Does it get any more flippant than that?
Nope.
A fucking BJ for Obama. Everything that he wanted, he got. Everything that the Republicans said they were going to oppose, they didn't.
I stand behind my earlier statement. Get your guns ready. I'm ready to take down the government. I'll shoot them all myself.
There's a thread on 8chan where they're trying to back up the internet and archive.org and a bunch of other stuff before CISA goes into effect.
Nice.
Because they don't understand what it is. Right? And it's like, guys, that's not what this thing does. They're not going to shut down and censor the internet. They're just monitoring everything you do on it.
I don't mind the idea of backing it up, though. Especially the Wayback Machine had that fire a year and a half ago. A lot of stuff.
So, I don't know, but they're saying it was inserted very late, no debate, just kind of,
Of course it was.
There wasn't a debate on any of it.
I challenged that it was, there may have been no debate, but for about 7 days before the bill went through. People were talking about it on poll.
Yep.
So, the problem with it is it's so big, none of them want to read it anyways. It doesn't matter.
I would bet a lot of them can't
one
read.
Page they wouldn't read because well, they don't want to do
a lot
anything.
Of House and Senate members, they don't, you know, if they're not in the committee, they only get the bill to, you know, to review, like, you know, hours before the vote, if they're not on the committees that are writing them.
Hey, here's a great thing.
So,
just pay
it's
me
2,000
food.
Pages. There's no way they could have read the thing.
Just pay for my lodgings and food and, you know, occasional stipend to go out and for a drink every now and then, and I will work for any aide of senator or whatever like that and read shit for them and give them a synopsis of it.
The problem is they don't get the bill in time for a lot of synopsis. That's a big complaint that some senators have, and they just say, we will vote no on anything you don't give us enough time to read. And there's just not enough people that principled.
The problem is most passing. Of them aren't even there to actually push a button.
But there's that video of the Texas state legislator where they're running around and voting for people, so I mean...
No, that was quality democracy right there.
But it just it annoys me because they obviously knew nobody wanted this. Well, they wanted it. There were a couple of high-end companies that wanted it because they wanted the immunity so they could work with the government and not get arrested for refusing them.
It's the 1% that want it, not the rest of the actual people who really are going to be affected by it.
Yeah. But so, essentially, it gives them a free pass on anything in the Constitution.
Yep.
So, you know, speaking of being terrified of the government, Reuters has a fun story here. Microsoft Corporation experts concluded several years ago that Chinese authorities had hacked into more than 1,000 Hotmail email accounts, targeting international leaders of China's Tibetan and Uyghur minorities in particular. But it decided not to tell the victims, allowing the hackers to continue their campaign, according to former employees of the company. On Wednesday, after a series of requests for comment from Reuters, Microsoft said it will change its policy and in the future will tell email customers when it suspects there has been a government hacking attempt. Microsoft spokesman Frank Shaw said the company was never certain of the origin of the Hotmail attacks. So they just didn't tell anybody. The company also confirmed, you don't have to say it's an email attack. You don't have to say it's the government doing it. Just say, hey, we see unusual activity on your account. You might want to change your password. You know, but the company also confirmed for the first time that it had not called, emailed, or otherwise told the Hotmail users that their electronic correspondence had been collected. The company declined to say what role the exposure of the Hotmail campaign played in its decision to make the policy shift. The first public signal of the attacks came in May of 2011. No direct link immediately made to Chinese authorities. That's when security firm Trend Micro announced it had found an email sent to somebody in Taiwan that contained a miniature computer program. Blah, 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 blah. Where was the conclusion? Well, basically the conclusion was that Microsoft was terrified of the Chinese government, so they didn't say shit. I forget where it was in the article. But
it was, we wanted to do business in that country.
So they let the Chinese government continue to hack the email of their political opponents.
Didn't we talk about this yesterday, that in China, that if they can pull one over on other people, it's not really, you know, bad or
as long as it's not somebody they personally know, it's not... Their culture is such that if you're not in their circle, like if they don't have to interact with you, you're not their you know, in their company. But I don't mean company as in like... employer, I mean like circle of friends.
Right.
If you're not in their social circles, they don't care because you don't mean anything to them.
Yeah, they're not your buddy guy.
They're very K-selected.
You've been watching a lot of the Stefan stuff.
I've also looked up other genetics, but yes.
So in that case, then, you know, I don't think that's really that big of a deal, you know? They didn't really know the person using that email address.
I think it's fucked up that Microsoft didn't tell their customers, oh, shit's going on with your email account.
It is. That's what I care about. You don't have to say, China. Oh, well, it might be government, so we'll leave it alone. I mean,
who cares about China? I mean, come on.
If they're doing that with China, they're doing that with U.S. people too. If you have a Hotmail account, they're not going to be telling you when your stuff's being busted into.
So not only should. So let's see. What are our conclusions so far? This use a VPN, maintain fake browser histories from your approved reading list. Depending on which party's in power, get a firearm.
not depending on which party's in power. Get a firearm. I don't care which party's in power.
No. On the web history.
Yeah, the web history is dependent on the party. The firearm.
We're putting together my New Year's resolution list right now. So I'm just. Wait, I've already got guns. Okay, so I'm good there.
Do you have a handgun, a shotgun, and an assault rifle?
I've got 2 out of 3.
You're not done.
Not done. Okay.
How many handguns do you have?
Just the one, but I'd like to get a revolver. You're not done.
Oh, you really only need one handgun.
No, I need the one that they can see, the one that they're going to find when they search me, and then finally the one I'm going to use to blow their head off that they didn't find.
So the one that goes on your belt, the one that goes on your ankle, and the one that goes up your butt. You got it.
Yep.
Okay.
Remember to clench correctly. You don't want accidental discharge.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's going to be a bad day.
Hey, some smaller guns don't have a safety. My gun just assumes you're not going to shoot yourself.
How much you want for that gun?
I'll take $150 for it.
You tell me you two are in the same state right now.
They are.
Yes.
Good. Just Why? Avoiding a federal problem, that's all.
It's perfectly legal. It's fine.
Comes with a box of bullets.
Are they the correct bullets? This is an important question.
Why won't these bullets go in?
Because they're for a 30-30!
Oh, that's even worse. It's like you can almost get those in, so you can really try. My gun keeps jamming. I don't understand.
30-30 is my rifle, dude. You cannot almost get those into a handgun.
No.
Oh shit. I was okay. Yeah, yeah.
That would be a badass handgun. 38s.
You're thinking 357.
Is that what I was thinking?
Yeah, because the gun's a 38.
But the Woodford is gone, so Yeah, I need to go to the range more, obviously. Next story, this one's from TechSpot. Last week, it was reported that Yahoo had become the latest company to promise to alert users if it suspected they were being spied upon by state-sponsored actors. Twitter, Facebook, and Google had previously assured their users that they would also warn them of any potential government spying. The UK, it seems, isn't happy about this and is pushing through a bill that will see the bosses of any company that warns its members that British agencies are monitoring them could face up to 2 years in prison.
That's frightening, dude.
Specifically, UK ministers want to make it a criminal offense for tech firms to warn users of requests for access to their communication data made by security organizations such as MI5, MI6, and GCHQ. A June report by David Anderson QC, the independent reviewer of terrorism legislation, revealed that Twitter's policy requires it to notify its users of requests to access their data unless persuaded not to do so by a court odor. A court odor.
Wow. It's pretty foul.
Yeah. I've got jury duty coming up too. Damn it! Typically, by
the odor in here is pathetic.
Does he smell like a black man? We all know they have a smell.
Oh God! Madman, I've never told that story. Suffice it to say, I've had jury duty more than once, and I've had to explain to other people on a jury why it mattered if a gun had crossed state lines, and I was told in no uncertain terms about what Madman just said. So,
and apparently, if you're a small Korean woman, you know what a black man smells like.
Oh, God.
Oh.
That's enough. Getting a little too personal here.
Only for the small Korean woman. I mean, I don't think anyone else was near a black man's nutsack.
Madman, you are an artist. You paint a beautiful picture that I can't get out of my head.
Dear God, I'm trying, though.
Yeah.
More bourbon.
I never let it in to begin with.
Anyways, the note says it will ensure a communication service provider does not notify the subject of an investigation that a request has been made for their data unless expressly permitted to do so. So here's the thing. Let's say Galaxy 15 Radio sets up a forum, because I've played with the idea before. I usually don't want to deal with it. But let's say we set up a forum and we get a request from the British agency. I don't live in Britain. I don't live anywhere near Britain. Yeah, that's a fair statement. I don't live anywhere near Britain. If I, you know, say, you know, hey, Madman, the British government wants your data, could they have me extradited to put me in jail for 2 years?
Yeah. And the, yes, the Americans extradited the, oh no, it was the UK extradited to America.
Yeah,
I don't know if you guys extradite.
So I'm just kind of wondering, because they're saying they want to be able to put people, you know, from Yahoo, Google, Twitter, Facebook in jail. But I'm pretty sure most of their big name guys are stateside, aren't they?
Yeah. And like, those aren't companies work? They need a European branch for them to function.
No, you don't. I mean, just because my site is available in, you know, in. Well, what am I? Do I have to explicitly block people from the UK from using my site if I don't like their laws? Is that how this shit works?
Britain may request that you do that, but I don't think you have to.
Probably little things like this they didn't even bother working out before they passed a law. Yeah, we'll do that when we come to it.
Well, they haven't passed it yet. It's a law they're working on, apparently.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just curious about that. It's like, what are you going to do? Extradite them, or like, you know, do you do fake invitations, try to get them to come to London so you can raid them? I mean, what's
that'd be great.
So we're going to give you an award. You show up there, and there's the MI6 SWAT team.
This award is called Anal Rapage.
Mm-hmm.
We have a nightstick with your name on it.
Hi. Do you know the story of the Debian guy? Wow, you're about to relive it.
Oh, and by the way, we're going to tell people that we caught you in a rice paddy field beating a cow to death with two small golden statues. We're going to charge you with actual knick-knack paddywhack.
Oh, hold up, awesome. This could make a great story. So yes, can we keep those charges and just let me leave?
The point was that they would make up something ridiculous, just, you know, and make it obviously ridiculous. It's like, yeah, we're fucking this guy over. And here's what the official paperwork says. You know, it's sort of like, you know, fourth degree assault and cruelty to animals. What happened? He threw a dog at somebody. I mean,
like, fourth degree assault and cruelty to animals. He beat somebody with a chihuahua.
Hey, man, we've had this story on other shows where a man has hurled a dog at police.
I believe that was
Chucking awards.
Actually, no, that was a guy on a bulldozer. Yeah.
Puppy chucker. That was like a yearly event.
Yeah. We had a couple of stories like that did in the bulldozer. They drove up to a bikey hangout and then threw puppies at them. That was weird.
I'm imagining the squirrel catapult, but with puppy. He's in a biker bar. It's just
you just couldn't. You could write a movie around that.
Yeah, you really, really could. Get Quentin Tarantino to direct it too. That'd be hilarious. Like, the entire movie is set up for this one scene where you have this guy dressed like the Terminator roll up and start throwing puppies at a biker bar.
Yelling, motherfucker. It has to be Samuel Jackson on top of the caterpillar.
And that's
these motherfucking puppies out of my motherfucking caterpillar.
You know, and Snakes on the Plane, the entire movie was written around that one line.
Yeah.
One Night at McCool's, the entire movie was written around a gunfight to YMCA.
Yeah, that's true. I had forgotten about that one. Which one of you village people?
Killed my brother, Utah.
Alright. Next story up, this one's just comical. AVG's web tune-up software is marketed as a free way for users to defend themselves from quote-unquote hidden threats. But earlier this month, Google's security team spotted that it was overriding safety features built into the search firm's Chrome browser. Let's see. AVG said it has addressed the problem, but it now faces repercussions. Web tune-up was force-installing a plugin into Chrome, meaning that users of the product had no way to opt out of it alerting or altering the browser settings. So you went to this web tune-up page, or you run, and it was installing shit. And like, if you installed AVG, it installed this thing.
Was it forcefully installing NoScript?
No, it was forcefully installing their web tune-up, which introduced all kinds of security problems. People's internet so as a result, people's internet history and other personal data could be seen by others if they knew where to look online. So code injection. You know, you could actually get their web browser history with JavaScript and upload it. Furthermore, he said the code could potentially let hackers spy on people's email and other online activities. So Google actually pulled this plugin and blocked it in Chrome, and now AVG's all butthurt about it.
Weren't they a reputable antivirus company for a while?
Yeah, then they decided to become a web marketing company. They still call themselves an antivirus, but I wouldn't touch AVG with a 10-foot pole at this point. AVG even put out a statement when people were complaining about the fact that they monitor your web browser history now to make money off their free products. Avira does it too, but AVG actually put out a statement saying, well, it's free, we got to make money somehow. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but...
Yeah, but you need to be honest about what you're doing. If I don't want you sticking a plug-in and broadcasting my internet history to the world, I'm cool with you doing it if you're letting me know, so I know not to use your shit.
So, yeah, AVG said it's fixed, and, you know, but... they can't get their plugin reactivated in Chrome, and so they're upset about that. But it's just comical that a security company is
reactivated.
Google blocked it flat out, and they've removed it from their web store. They've blocked it from being installed in Chrome, and AVG says they fixed it, but Google still isn't unblocking it, and they've also been making changes to Google to make it harder for programs to force install plugins like that. And AVG is upset about that. Yeah. Like, what? We can't just install our shit on your browser? What? Like, we should just be able to do that. We shouldn't have to ask for permission. The user's not going to understand. They're too stupid to know.
The user is.
Well, I mean, that's the mindset, though. It really is. I've talked to these people. Well, not AVG specifically, but I've talked to security software people all the time.
You've read tales from desk support, dude. You know?
Yeah, I have. And, I mean, I've been on the receiving end of that. And I've had fantastic, conversations where, somebody who doesn't understand a system is upset that I'm not immediately doing I don't know what, but... we had our email system get backed up the other day, and we had one of the devs absolutely upset that her broadcast email hadn't gone out. And it's like, what do you want me to do? The email system's backed up. Until we figure out what's backing it up, I can't do anything. It's like, well, what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm not going to do anything because they're already working the problem over there. But I mean, anyways.
I can throw spanners at them from here and make them work harder.
What are you going to do about it? I'm going to smile and say we've got it under control. Well, aren't people going to start calling the help desk eventually if we don't get this fixed quickly? Because I'm explaining this to you, I'm not helping fix it.
I'm going to play SIP, sir. What are you going to do?
I'm going to sit here with a thumb up my butt. Anyways.
So I see the iPhone may have some issues.
Yeah, oh, this is funny. Apple is on the receiving end of a... This is from TechSpot. Apple is on the receiving end of a class action lawsuit from disgruntled iPhone 4S owners The suit, filed by Shane Lemern and more than 100 others, alleges Apple's iOS 9 update severely degraded the phone's performance, both in terms of third-party apps and core functionality. Lerman blames Apple for not warning users that the update would slow their phones to the point that it disrupts everyday life. The complaint points to the section on Apple's website in which iOS 9 promises faster performance, improved security, convenient updates, and longer battery life. And without the option to roll back the update, the suit says that iPhone 4S owners must either deal with a slow phone or shell out hundreds of dollars for a newer, faster iPhone in order to maintain their investment in the Apple's app ecosystem. They are speaking more than $5 million in damages.
So did they just rolled out a giant, fuck you, buy a new phone?
Yes.
They've done this several times.
They do it all the time.
And $5 million? That's a line item write-off for this fuck you. You're like, okay, we're going to make more money off of saying, fuck you, buy a new phone, than you're willing to fine us or sue us for.
And people wonder why I didn't get on the tit of these phone companies, man.
Well, the thing that drives me nuts is the 4S is, I'm wanting to say 3 years old. Look that up.
Yeah.
Okay, 3 years old. We're good on that number?
Yeah, pretty close.
That's not very old in terms of hardware.
You know, it's not very new, though, in terms of hardware and where we've been and where we are today.
True, but I mean, 3 years is not a long time for a phone.
You should get at least 4 years out of a device.
I mean, hell, my desktop is 2 years old.
Mine's going on 5 now.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I've had some minor repairs to it, but...
You know, I mean, it's like... I didn't think that 3 years was that long in terms of hardware. I mean, it can be, I guess, but they're basically obsoleting these things, you know, 2 years out, and I have no doubt that iOS 9 slowed the things down to a crawl, but yeah, I've got some family that still has iPhone 4s, and they won't upgrade to iOS 9. They stopped at 7, I'm wanting to say, and they're upset because they've got some apps that have updated that don't work anymore and shit like that, and it's like, well, but the only thing you can really do is buy a new phone. Well, I'm not buying a new fucking phone. I don't use it enough for that. And blah, 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 blah. So it's like, well, there's no fixing it. So it's like, well, that's not right. No, it's not. But I don't know what to tell you. So.
I mean, I just happened to go to phonearena.com real quick just to take a look. Comparing the 4S versus the 6 versus the 5S, okay?
Yeah, it doesn't have half the processor of the modern phone.
Well, yeah, I mean, the 4S has a dual-core 800 megahertz ARM Cortex-A9, whereas you have a dual-core 1400 megahertz Cyclone ARM second-gen 64-bit in the 6. Even in the 5S, it's a dual-core 1300 Cyclone ARM 64-bit, so it's the first generation. So, I mean, it's a huge difference. Double
so,
RAM.
Apple probably should not have made the 4S iOS 9 compatible. They probably should have stopped it at 7, just like they did the 4.
Exactly. I mean, and didn't they do that, like, with the iPhone...
Well, my original iPad stopped at iOS 5.
Yeah.
I don't even remember on the original iPhone because I got rid of it.
And I think it was only 2 revisions old at the point when they stopped. So it's like they're trying to push their hardware further, which I commend them for. That's good. But at the same time, they should have tested the market. And if they did, whatever dev pushed that out is a moron. But, yeah.
Or are we just going to say a phone that's older than 2 years is just too old and you've either got to buy something new or quit updating it?
I mean, you know, I think two things need to occur. One, the user base needs to be educated enough to know to look at the information and it needs to be readily available to them from you know, the makers. You know, whether we're talking about Apple, Android, Windows, whatever, platform. It needs to be available to them so that way they can make an educated decision for themselves, and then they have nobody to blame but themselves. But at the same time, I think that they should have the opportunity to roll back.
Well, yeah. I've got something coming up in Digital Dojo that I remembered I wanted to cover and forgot about, so I'm going to add that real quick. And it has to do with old Apple devices and trying to make them usable again. So, anyways, though, I don't know, because, I mean, on one hand, I go 3 years old is not that old for some devices, but, I mean, I kind of understand.
Four, by the way.
Is it four years old?
Yeah.
Well, even so, that's not terribly old. If the thing still works,
you should be looking upgrade.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. But it depends on what you're doing with it.
Yeah, if it still suits your application and what you're using it for, don't upgrade. Till it breaks.
I mean, for a lot of people, a cell phone is still a phone, not a computer.
Right.
So the fact that iOS 9 has broken these so badly, the real problem is that Apple doesn't give you the option to roll back. That's the real problem.
That is the number one problem.
That and, you know, their system is so tight. And that's the thing that sucks is, you know, they mentioned that their investment in the app ecosystem. So, you know, you bought $1,000 worth of apps on your phone. Well, one, that's not very smart. But if you spent that much money on apps, you know,
the Apple ecosystem.
What
lives in that ecosystem?
Their apps. Like, if I buy an app on on my iPad, I can't load it on my Android.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's not written for that hardware.
Well, even if they have it for Android, the purchase in one store doesn't necessarily translate to the other. Some companies, though, if you contact them, they might let you transfer it over. That's up to the company, though.
Wow.
But yeah, they're walled gardens, dude. I mean, there's, you know, everything in iTunes is iTunes only, so.
Yeah, I'll just go back to my cupboard. Nice, dark, and damp in there.
It's Apple has, developers have invested the money to build in that market, and then you have Android developers who have invested money to build into that market. It may be the same company that's built into both markets, but that's two totally separate line items for
me. Well, I can also tell you, because I've been investigating writing apps in both, getting started writing Android apps is a hell of a lot easier than writing iOS apps.
That's why there's a lot more Android available than iOS apps.
Well, and that's because the big problem that makes it very difficult to get going with iOS development, you have to have a Mac. All of the tool chain is developed on Apple, and if you don't have a Apple hardware, you basically can't run enough of the tool chain to build it. So Hackintosh in a VM works. I'm just going to point this out, but it's a pain in the ass to get started with their tool chain if you're not already if you don't already have a Mac. Whereas Android, you know, it's all open source. You can pretty much set up the tool chain on anything and start developing on it. And a developer license in the Play Store, last time I looked, which admittedly has been a while, was like $25. Whereas Apple, the first time I looked, was $200. They've knocked it down to $99. I don't know when they did that, but I'm wanting to say recently because, you know, I just now recently found that out. Because last time I looked, it was $200, but then I saw a post saying it was only $99 to get the license. So it's like, oh, they made it cheaper. But still.
I haven't looked at this because pretty much when I see smartphones, it's either Android or Apple. But are Android apps cross-compatible with Windows at all?
No. However, you can set up Android emulators on PC a hell of a lot easier than you can Apple stuff. And that's just due to the open nature of their ecosystem. The other thing, though, Chrome can run some Android apps because they were playing with making it cross-compatible with Chromebooks. So there's some hacks to do that kind of stuff, too. All right, let's move on. It's just sad that, you know,
They want to break your phone after 3 years.
Yeah, they. I mean, they're actively.
It's Apple's fault.
Yeah, they're actively sabotaging the old device to try to force you to buy a new one.
I'll buy a new one. The new Galaxies look great.
Yeah, good for you, man.
I think everyone with an iPhone 4S, the Galaxies, they look great, guys. Go out and look into getting you a new Galaxy.
Well, actually, the real problem is if you have. I mean, okay, if you have a lot of apps that you're not going to bring with you, I mean, you either just write that off, right? But a lot of people have a lot of video and music they bought in the iTunes store. Can, however, at least with that, pull that shit down on a computer running iTunes and burn it off on CD and re-rip it or get the DRM-free stuff. There are ways around it if it's just the media files. But I'm guessing the people who are complaining about iOS 9 breaking their 4S... probably aren't going to take the time to do the research because, although I will tell you, on my Apple stuff, my iOS and stuff, it's as bad as Windows when they put out updates. You know, the fact that it's just constantly hounding you to install the shit. So,
well, that's a big problem with any electronic store of just crap that you're buying. When I die, if I was a console gamer, a big chunk of my games, other people could have or use. When I die, Steam's not going to give my shit away.
No, they're going to shut your account down, and all that stuff is gone.
Yeah.
Man, I'm gifting it to Galaxy 15.
Wait.
Is anyone still around? Gets my account. Let's face it, I'm going to be the first
one. Here's my
username
and password. They're going to wonder why RU486 is 1,000 years old eventually.
This account has been passed down through our family for generations.
Why can't you, man? It's yours. Why can't you bequeath it on your passing?
That's the same reason I got a nasty gram from AT&T that they're jacking up the price on my unlimited plan. They don't want to offer it anymore.
And it's also the same reason they're passing the law that you're not going to be able to give, like, my guns that I own, I won't be able to give to my daughter whenever I die.
Damn.
Hold up. Who's trying to do that? It's not going to pass in this state.
Yeah, it's nationally. Thanks. It's coming. It's there. I have to find information about it. I can't speak to it directly, but I remember I read it the other day.
I know New York's trying that, but down south, that ain't going to fly.
Well, I mean, Links, you do... Okay. Gun ownership, and you know, from all the arguments around gun control aside... there are antique guns out there that you don't shoot them because they're antiques. Keep them as collector's items. Yeah, they're guns, but...
yeah, if you have a 45 caliber Luger, you're sitting on $1 million. That's how much they sold for at auction last time. There's one of them still in existence. It's model number... it's serial number 2.
So what, is the government going to confiscate that? You know, and just like, oh, nope, that's, you know, that's a gun. We have to take that. It's like, no, that's a that's
in
that's
Britain, they did.
In yeah, Britain, they did here in Australia as well.
They took 100-year-old guns. Like, this gun was back when they invented guns. They took the shit and melted them down.
What?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Same here.
Okay, so here it is. Bill has been proposed by... basically, they want to ban your guns. And the information behind it is, yes... once you die, your gun gets basically destroyed.
Well, it's only proposed. It hasn't gotten anywhere other than somebody just getting before Congress saying we should pass this.
Oh, yeah. It's not going to get anywhere until the next time they have an omnibus spending bill.
Yeah, because it's the only way they'll be able to slip this shit in.
What are you talking about? I mean, you know, he does with everything else. He'll just say, okay, executive order it.
I want to see that.
I really want to see that it will too. End well, won't it?
No, seriously. Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of dead citizens.
And a lot of dead government officials. A
lot more dead government officials.
Right. I don't know, man. That'll roll out the military.
We have more guns than our
army.
We have
more guns, guys. More ammo, more body armor than the military.
Guys.
Okay, we'll move on to pure decking. But that was a good one.
If you want to start, if you want to start up Madman's Political Hour, I'm all for it.
All right, coming this 2016, Madman's Political Hour.
I need more shows on G15 as it is, but
it'll be a Friday night show, guys.
Cool.
I'm good for that.
Either Friday or Saturday. I haven't decided which. We'll probably go Friday.
Well, being, you know, like the run up to the elections, we might as well do a year on it.
So. You know, we'll pencil that in right behind I'm Right. Okay.
you did it to yourself it. This time.
What was it? It wasn't I'm Right. What was it?
Doing it correctly or something
Yeah, doing it right or something
doing
like that.
Doing it right.
We actually explored it for like 15 minutes before it's like there's nothing here.
Mm-hmm.
So, next story up. You know what? I'm looking at the clock. I don't want to do half an hour on this thing. Basically, Bank of America is trying to patent blockchain. They've submitted, I think it was 10? Yeah, 10.
What?
On December 17th, U.S. Patent Office published 10 blockchain-related patents filed by Bank of America in July of 2014. They've not been granted yet, but the filings demonstrate the bank's interest in using blockchain technology to revamp its back-end operations. Wide-ranging patents cover everything from a cryptocurrency transaction payment system to risk detection, storing cryptocurrencies offline, and using the blockchain to measure fraudulent activity. Basically, so there's a lot of financial institutions in investigating blockchain technology. The thing that bothers me about this, though, is that Bank of America is trying to patent something that already exists as open source code.
Yeah, if the patent judge is doing their job, they'll throw that out.
Because, I mean, otherwise they're just grabbing it and saying, this is ours now.
Or if it's granted, if it's ever actually, if they attempt to enforce their patent, it'll be thrown out. It's like the millions of patents for Toast. If anyone ever tries to enforce their patent, it's thrown out.
Yeah, because it's such a retarded patent. But, yeah, Bank of America is basically claiming the blockchain. It's like, nope, that's ours now.
But, yeah, I think Bitcoin came up with that.
Yeah, I think they did too, and I think there's like 5 years of prior art at this point. But
and now there's Dogecoin, Litecoin, Badman's Ass Coin. You can make your own coins now.
Hey, I'm up to 1,800, or not 1,800, yeah, 1,800 Dogecoins. I had to look again.
Nice.
You know, it's worth 22 cents.
But, yeah, I've got over 2,000. I have nothing coins. They're worth fucking nothing. They're great.
Finally, last news story. Pirate Bay founder Peter Soon built the ultimate piracy machine named the Koppenmaschine. It's a Raspberry Pi that takes the Gnarls Barkley track Crazy and makes 100 copies of it every second in memory. It then deletes them. This translates to more than 8 million copies per day and roughly 10 million in lost sales of this track.
It's fantastic. I'm calling it
an art project. He's calling it an art project too. But he's you know, his quote here is, "I want to show the absurdity on the process of putting value on a copy. The machine is made to be very blunt and open about the fact that it's not a danger to any industry at all," Sun told the Torrent Freak. But following their rhetoric and mindset, it will bankrupt them. I want to show a physical example. So he has the Raspberry Pi hooked up to an LCD showing the amount of money it's lost, you know, it's cost them since it's been turned on. It does make real copies of the track, but they are sent to Dev Null, which means they're not permanently stored. In all reality, this means the millions of dollars in losses the industry claims for him and the other Pirate Bay founders are just as fictitious as the numbers displayed on the copy machine. Or, I guess that's Swedish for copy machine. So.
Like, I think it's beautiful. Hey, it Morse, is. I got one more thing for tonight. Everybody just have a quick look at that. See what you think. I think it's fantastic. Came across it while we're doing the show. You can filter Donald Trump off the internet with a new app in Chrome.
Oh, why would you want to do something like that?
I know. I just came across it. I was like, wow, people are that butthurt about it. They want to filter it.
That's a description of the Trump filter extension says it's part of the antidote for Trump's toxic candidacy. The app launched on December 24th and was developed by Rob Spector. Want to bet he's planning on voting for Hillary?
Yeah.
You want to bet that Rob Spector is not a real person or that name is fake?
Yeah, Hillary probably paid for that.
Yeah.
The extension comes with preset on mild, which is fairly strong. Donald's Trump entire Twitter page goes blank. On the highest setting, vindictive, the entire news sites are blocked. CNN, Google News, and even InStyle go blank. So if you turn this thing up to the highest setting, any site that carries a Donald Trump story is blocked.
Yeah.
So the internet gets turned off for you.
Basically. All right, that's added. I'll make sure it's in the notes. That is hilarious.
That can actually be useful for other things as well.
So, all right, it is. Oh, I need to get the soundboard back up. It is time for this. Hadouken! So, first thing I have up in Digital Dojo, Mix, which is the website I use, or the website, the software I use to run. The show has updated. They just dropped version 2. And it actually has an FX engine now, and it looks like they've cleaned up a lot in it. So that's cool. I'll be playing with it later. Of course, I haven't updated the show box to it because I don't touch the show box when we're doing shows. It is so complaining at me to do Windows updates right now, like mad. And every time I log into it, it's you know, got the Windows 10 box that comes up. And it's like those malware sites now, man. I mean, that. The whole, you have to install Windows 10. Everything you click on there except the little red X will install Windows 10. It's getting aggressive.
I'm waiting for me to log onto my computer and it says, thank you for installing Windows 10.
I'm waiting on that too.
I'm waiting for that too, and that's the day that it gets flashed.
Like, well, here we go with that. So, I'm kind of leaving the broadcast box to wait to see if that happens. I'm betting it will. That's the thing that scares me. So, this next story is awesome. It's from Adafruit. They have a write-up here on the Pi Zero. Now, if you're not aware, the Pi Zero was a Raspberry Pi that launched just before Christmas, and it's supposed to cost about $5. It's roughly equivalent to the original Raspberry Pi as far as processing power goes. No network port, a OTG USB port instead of a regular USB port. And a mini, not a micro, a mini HDMI port. The thing's tiny. It's like 2 inches by an inch. And, you know, it's got a full header on it, so you can hook pins, GPIO pins to it if you wanted. And at first, it's also got the pins on it, but they're not populated for, like, the, for a couple of different outputs. So, like, if you wanted to get the composite out instead of using an HDMI, it's got that. But at first glance, because it's missing so many ports, you might think, well, okay, it's $5, but what good is it? You need $20 worth of adapters to make use of it. But they figured out on Adafruit how to change it from a USB host to a USB device. And they've got instructions on here of turning the USB port to USB serial or USB Ethernet, so you get virtual Ethernet over the USB line. But if you look at the module they're using, there's a lot more that you could do with this kernel module they're using, which is, I think, USB. It's called USB Gadgets. But scroll down here at the bottom. So mass storage, you could make the Raspberry Pi show up as a USB key or a disk. You can have MIDI, HID. That's what I'm interested in right here. Is you can have it show up as a keyboard mouse. So I'm seeing something that is this small, where you run a USB line to it and it shows up on the user's machine as a keyboard, you press a button on it and boom, Meterpreter shell. Because it just, you know, started punching in the commands to go grab it and get it.
Yep.
You can have it show up as a USB printer if you really wanted to.
Yep, it's a day after yesterday.
So, I think this is awesome. Or you immediately got it when I shot him the link on what you could do with this. So
my brain is deviant like yours.
But I don't know, Madman, Static, thoughts? $5 Raspberry Pi full Linux stack shows up as a USB HID device? Come on.
Could be fun.
If nothing else, you could make a Raspberry that's your password vault and just has some buttons on the front of it. So you plug it in, it shows up as a keyboard, and tap it so you can have your crazy complex passwords and not actually have to remember them.
There's a lot of interesting shit you could do with it.
Oh, yeah. And once they get the damn things back in stock, they're cheap. So I'm also thinking just leave them places.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see some of the talk circuits this year.
Black Hat.
You know, we've had people who had a real 6-12 months to play with these things.
Mm-hmm.
And what they've been able to do with them, you know, DerbyCon, Black Hat.
I mean, you want to talk about hiding one of these things in a... You know, these things are small enough. You think about this. Hide this sucker in a data rack.
Yeah.
You know, if you can get into the switch closet for someplace, hide this thing in there. Just pop it into a server. It shows up as, you know, whatever it shows up, however you set it up. I mean, it's small enough. Nobody's ever going to find it if you hide it right.
Mm-hmm.
And by hide it right, I basically mean get a piece of gaffer's tape. Yeah. So, anyways, lots of potential here. This is awesome. And the final thing I have for Dojo tonight is Greydor. Nobody knows what this is. I'm going to bet.
No.
Nope.
So Greydor is a combination of a couple of things. The people who put it together have put together a custom image for iPhone 3G, iPad 1, and the original Apple TV. It jailbreaks it, then puts a graphical theme on it so it looks like iOS 9. And the really nice part is it comes with... where to go? It comes, I'm trying to get the name right, a feature called App Time Machine. App Time Machine is where they have archived older versions of iPhone apps that work on the older version of the OS image, because there's still, you know, the iOS 5 or whatever it is, right? But it's the older versions of the apps that are meant to work with those versions.
So it makes your iPhone 4S usable again.
Kinda. But, yeah, and of course they theme it so it looks like a modern phone. But it brings in some of the features from the newer iOS 9 stuff on the old devices. So I'm going to be trying this with my original iPad, because I know I've complained bitterly on the show several times that my old iPad is useless at this point. But yeah, I think this is awesome, and I hope they keep this up with the older, you know, because as iPad 2s go out, because that'll be coming up soon, you're going to see minis and a lot of the other things, because there's a lot more of those than there are iPad 1s floating around right now, which might be why Apple hasn't completely obsoleted some of them yet. It's just like there's enough of them out there, we're going to have people really pissed if we do this. So
that's actually pretty neat.
I think the way you obsolete a device is you stop writing things for it. You don't make where the shit that is already on it stops working. But well, that's me.
I would tend to agree with you. But yeah, I actually happen to have a Pi Zero because I hopped on it right away and ordered them, you know, before they all went out of stock. Right now, you can get them on eBay for like $50. Don't do that. Wait for them to come back in stock when they're like $5 again. But yeah, between that and, you know, getting your old iOS stuff going in, because I'm Static, you got some old iOS stuff floating around too, don't you?
Just twos. iPad 2s is all I have now.
Ah. But I don't know what their image will do to a 2. Might work.
Yeah. I've not really had a problem with stuff though. I mean, you know, a 2s.
Yeah.
Still. Okay.
I've got a mini that's getting to that point where it's difficult to use it because it crashes so damned often. That might be the same iOS 9 issue they're having on the 4S's, because the mini 1 is basically an iPad 2.
Oh, I really got to stop clicking around the net while we do this show.
Are you? What are you? Nope. I already saw that URL. Nope. We're going to close the show. We're like 20 minutes over.
Oh, man.
Let me just nope right the hell out of there on that.
When it's that bad, you recognize the URL from today.
I have no idea what the URL is. It just says baby pods. I'm like, nope. It's like, that's going to be Harlequin babies. I don't want to see that shit. So, anyways, anybody got anything they want to throw out there other than argue with this crazy shit on the internet?
It's actually not that crazy if you start looking at it. I've skimmed through it really quickly. So,
oh, good lord.
It's just a retarded concept.
But it's not retarded. I mean, it's actually well used, even before the insertion of the pod.
This is why I would go with the external, not the internal. That's just the retarded part.
You're an inspiration for birth control.
Yes, I am.
Anybody have anything they want to throw that out before I close this?
No, you're fine.
No, I'll close it, man.
Happy New Year, everybody, or if you're already in the new year, well, you know.
It begins.
You know, say hi to us from the future.
Dolphins is bad.
This is weird.